So I love Christmas. It's I don't know, something just magical about it, that time of year. Everybody loves it, and I tend to let Christmas linger with my decorations. They'll be up for another couple weeks. I think it's less Christmas spirit than I just don't like putting them away. But I did see something on Facebook that I thought was pretty funny. There's a lot of people before Christmas that complaining about how early people were setting up decorations. And so a little audience participation. How many of you had yours set up in November? Was there some that had that? Yeah. End of November. I want to ask October because that's just too far back. But anyway, one of the things on Facebook, it was the day after Christmas, and I was looking at online, and it said, 364 days till Christmas, and my neighbor already has his lights up. And I thought that was pretty funny. Well, as I was looking at some of the decorations and stuff, it kind of hit me that I have some decorations that aren't actual Christmas decorations. And I bet you have them in your house too. We actually have them out here on the table. And that's the wise men. They don't belong in your manger scene. I know that that's shocking to some of you. And in our greeting card mentality that we have, that's what we all like to see, the wise men following the star and being right there at the manger. But it didn't happen that way. It's kind of funny how we think we know the story. How many wise men were there? I think most people would say there's three, right? We don't know. It doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. We know there were three gifts. But it could have been one of those, oh, I forgot, here's 20 bucks, put my name on the card kind of a thing. And there could have been a bunch of them. When did they arrive? Again, most of us think they were there at the manger, but that wasn't the case. It was almost 2 years later before they finally came. Jesus was not in the manger 2 years later. Mary and Joseph were in a house at that time. It's actually 107 miles from Bethlehem, from the Babylonian Empire. And if you travel at a consistent speed of 30 miles per hour, it takes 4 hours and 16 minutes to get there. But it took these guys a shade under 2 years to make the trip. So it wasn't that they wanted to get there for the birth of this child, per se, but they saw something that alerted it to them. And we all know that's the star, right? They saw the star and they said, we're going to follow the star. And some people try and think that, you know, they try and explain it away, say it's a natural phenomenon. Some people say it was like a supernova, a dying star, and that burns real, real bright, and that's what it was. Others say that it's when some of the planets lined up, that it becomes really bright and it can look like a close star. But that only happens every 800 years, and that did not line up when Jesus was born. They came because of this star. And I think that it may not even been a star. I think with the way it fades in and out as it's leading the wise men, I think it's something more like what we would have seen the pillar of fire with God leading the Israelites out of Egypt. But regardless of what the star looked like, again, these guys, they saw it and they knew why they were going. Because they showed up at Bethlehem and they said, "Where is the one born King of the Jews?" They knew what they were looking for. They didn't just show up and say, "Hey, we saw this star thing and it seems to be above Bethlehem. What's going on?" They knew what they were looking for. How? How did they do that? The Bible, from cover to cover, is a story. The characters change, come and go, except the one central character through all of it, and that's God. And the whole story of the Bible is God trying to have a relationship with mankind. It happened in the beginning with Adam and Eve. In the garden, it talks about how they walked and talked with God. There was no separation there. It was perfect. And then as humanity let sin in, that separation was there. And God started His redemptive work. He started His plan. He started a nation through Abram to bless the world, to speak through to the world. He tried to bring us back through the law that He gave Moses and the do's and the don'ts, and this is how you should be, this is don't do these things. And time and time and time and time again, He had His prophets there that were speaking to people, calling not only just to the nation of Israel, but to other nations as well, to come to God. He wants to restore that relationship that was lost. I want to look at one of those prophets today that He spoke through. The prophet Daniel. It's a great story. I love Daniel. He's one of my favorite in the Old Testament. A lot of weird stuff comes through Daniel too, some of the visions and things that he gets. But Daniel, he grew up in a time when the Babylonian Empire was thriving. It was at its peak. And so they just kind of swept across the known world and conquered whoever they wanted. And because the Israelites, like we've learned time and time again, turned their back on God, worshipped other false gods, that they were able to be taken over by Babylonian as well. So the Babylonian Empire comes in, takes them over, and as is the custom, they take the people and they enslave them. But some, they took the best and the brightest to a school of sorts to train them to be advisors for the king. And that's where Daniel's story is. He was a part of the royal family, the royal line of Judah. He's likely a relative of King Zedekiah. And this horrible thing happened to him. They came in, they ripped him away from his family, and they put him in this school to learn and be wise and to become an advisor, to become a wise man for the king. He, at a young age, set himself apart. They would bring these young guys in and they would give them the best of everything to try and, again, make them as wise as possible to be advisors for the king on matters of growing the kingdom and war and just everything. And so these guys had the best meat, the best drink, everything. But Daniel said, hey, look, some of this stuff that you're wanting to give us, some of the stuff you're wanting us to eat, God said we're not supposed to eat that. It goes against my religious beliefs. Instead, I just want to eat these vegetables and dates and nuts and all this stuff. And the guy was kind of leery. He said, I don't know about this. He said, well, give me 10 days, and me and my three friends will eat this stuff, and 10 days you feed them your stuff, and then we'll see at the end if we look worse. So they do this. 10 days later, they come and they see that the Israelite kids look so much better than the other ones that they change everybody's diet there to just the vegetables and the nuts and all that stuff. So again, he won the favor of the king and the people who saw it, but some of the people that were with him, they didn't like him very much. You know that if you've been a parent and you've tried to get kids to eat vegetables. That's a harder thing to do. So he won the favor of the king, and quickly he and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego become wise men for the king. He went on later to give the meaning of a vision to the king. Nebuchadnezzar was the king at that time, and he had a vision. And it bothered him, so much so that he did not sleep. And so, kind of in his maddened state, he called his chief wise men, his chief advisors. And Daniel was not one of them at that time. And he called them together and he said, I want you to tell the meaning of this dream that I had. But to make sure that you don't just lie to me or make something up, I want you to tell me the dream that I had and then tell me the meaning of it. And they said, hey, we can't do that. No person can do that. No king on earth has asked so high of a thing for any of the wise men that they have, any of their counselors. We can't do it. The gods themselves were the only ones who could do that. And he was pretty stickler on it. And he said, look, either you tell me this or I'm going to kill all the wise men, all the council. I'm just going to say you're useless. And they couldn't do it. So the order goes out that all the wise men, all the counselors were to be killed. And so the guy who comes to the house of Daniel explains to him what's going on. And Daniel says, well, take me to the king. And he goes before the king and he says, give me a day and I will tell you what your dream was and I'll tell you the meaning of it. And then he goes back, leaves the king, and he goes and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and him, they pray. They are just immersed in prayer because their lives are on the line. That's usually when we pray the hardest, isn't it? When we need something from God. And so they pray, and God is faithful to Daniel. And He gives him the vision of what this is, this dream. And He gives him the meaning of what it is. And it's this great statue. It has a gold head and silver arms and chest and a bronze belly and legs of iron and feet of iron and clay mix. And so he goes to the king. And again, I think he's very smart man. We know that. But I think he's pretty sure of himself too, because he goes to the king and says, what you've asked, no man can do. And I don't think that's what I would lead off with if I had a death sentence on whether I could do this or not. But he says, the God, the one true God of Israel, will tell you what your dream is and what the meaning is. And he explains how that's future kingdoms. How yours is the most splendid of the kingdoms and yours is the golden head. And then how there's lesser kingdoms that will come along. And he went on to explain that in that dream, there was a rock cut out without using human hands. It was different. And it came along and it hit the feet of that statue and it broke into millions of pieces and crushed them. And then this piece grew into this large mountain that filled the entire space. And that represented a kingdom that would never fall. A kingdom that would last for all eternity. And we know that is the kingdom that Christ established. So he tells him the meaning of this. And the king falls down at his feet, bows down to him, and says, your God is the one true God that would allow you to see the vision and know what it is. And he makes him the chief advisor at that time, the chief wise man at that time. He also went on to later tell that same king that because of his vanity, he was going to, for 7 years, he was going to eat grass like a wild animal because God was going to confuse his mind, make him the mind of an animal. He interpreted many dreams. I think most of us would know Daniel from the lion's den. That's probably the most famous story of his, Daniel and the lion's den. And that's because he was a man of prayer. He was so connected with God that every day, 3 times a day, he prayed to God. And not just, God, thanks for my food. But he connected with God 3 times a day. And these same guys that grew up and didn't like him from way back when he made him eat vegetables and stuff, they didn't like that he kept rising to the top. And so they got together and they said, let's come up with a plan and get rid of him so that we can be the chief official. And so they said, well, let's make this law saying that nobody can pray to anybody except the king, and we'll get the king to sign it with his ring, and that way everybody is bound by it. And so they do that, and then they wait. And sure enough, Daniel comes out, same place, same time, and he prays to God. And so they take him and they throw him in the lion's den. And we're told in Scripture that Darius, the king at that time, is just torn apart by it. He's just upset, doesn't sleep. And he runs out at daybreak and says, Daniel, tell me that your God has saved you. And Daniel says, you know, yes, he caused the mouths of the lion to be shut. And again, a king from a different nation at that time says, truly yours is the one true God. Those who are connected to God in prayer have a powerful story. Daniel was so influential that when 470 some odd years later, they saw the star, they studied the prophecies. They looked at what Daniel had written down. And so they followed that star and they knew to ask, where's the one born King of the Jews? Prayer can leave a lasting impression. And prayer can do so much for us. Many people struggle with spending time in prayer because we live in a time and in a society that tells us we constantly have to be doing something. Whether it's checking our phones, running around to get the kids to soccer and basketball and whatever. We fill our life so much that we don't ever just be still and know that He is God. James Banks, an author of Our Daily Bread publications, tells of a time when he had to learn to just be still. It has to deal with his daughter, and he talks about how when she was raised, that she was raised up in the church. She accepted Christ early, but then in her teenage years became a little rebellious, and it got worse and worse, and to the point where she ran away from home. He talks about how he and her mother were just beside themselves, and they went and they searched frantically, getting everybody involved, the church involved, everybody going out looking for her, can't find her. And it went on for weeks that they could not find her. It kind of came to a point when the mother found herself in a drug dealer's living room trying to find if they knew, and it was a dangerous situation. And so they finally just said, we can't keep living life this way. And so they stopped and they were still and they gave it over to God and they prayed, Lord, You take care of her. Lord, You help. Lord, You find her. He says, while they were praying, the phone rang. And it was somebody who had seen the daughter. She was only actually a couple miles away from the house at that time. And so they went and they found her and they were reunited. But they had to find that time to just be still. Now, I don't know. Maybe they would have found their daughter that same time anyway. But he attributes it to they were still. And they listened and they waited for God. And they weren't busy doing everything else. With the pace of life that we often end up living at, we disconnect from our real source of direction and peace. Philippians 4:16 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God wants us to talk with Him, to be in a relationship that looks like it was back in the garden. We talk with Him. We walk along our life with Him. Worry can paralyze our prayer life. That's one of the things when I was studying through here, one of the authors had written, and I underlined that. Because oftentimes, that's when we want to go to God, is when we need something from Him, when we're worried about a situation in our life. And if that's the only communication that we really truly have with God, it's automatically going to be a little messed up. Because it's in a time of crisis, not in a time of peace and stillness when we can hear Him clearly. I watch Netflix. I actually do have the basic cable stuff, but I never watch it. I always just Netflix. So I'm always watching old shows. And so I like to go back and watch some of them, the action and suspense shows. But they're not as good the second time. They're not because I know that guy's going to make it through the episode because there's three more seasons. And so the drama that's in that life of the character, the things that are happening, they don't have as much impact on me. The same can be true in our prayer life. We know God works for the good of all things, so we don't have to let the situations in our lives have quite the same suspense or fear that they once did. Going to God daily in prayer can change the way we approach problems in life. It puts the focus on Him and plugs us in to His story. It's His story. He's the main character. And it lets us plug in to that. Worry gets us nowhere, but prayer gets us in touch with the One who can handle all of our concerns and all of our problems. And just like Daniel, our prayers go beyond just us. They can leave a lasting impression for our kids, for our family, our friends, our co-workers. If you want to make an impact in those around you, it starts with being a person of prayer. It connects you to God's story. It connects you to God's power. Prayer is so important in our lives because it connects us with God and it can leave a lasting impression and it can change the way we even approach problems in life. We want you to have this kind of relationship with God, this lasting impact on those around you. And so this year, or actually next year, beginning of 19, we want you, everyone in here, to go through this. It's 9 days of prayer. 9 days of you, just for a glimpse, being still and focusing with God. 9 days of connecting your story in with His. I hope that you take time to do that. They're right outside the door. Please do that today, because again, by the next time that it rolls around, it'll almost be over. But take time to take one of these. Take time each day to plug in to God's story. For 9 days, we're going to do that. And then on the 9th of January is when we're going to start back our Wednesday night program. And hopefully you can make that a part of your weekly rhythm as well to come to Wednesday nights and be a part. But we're going to talk in depth about that. Look more into it, about the fruit of the Spirit. How is that, and how do we prayerfully work on that throughout this next year? Prayer is us seeking God. Prayer is us seeking God, like He's been seeking us since the beginning of time. I'm going to close, and I want you to think about if there's a decision that you need to make. If you need to be a person of prayer, then I invite you to make that decision where you are. Hopefully all of you do. Hopefully all of you will grab the books on the way out and start off the year that way. Maybe it's to connect with God for the first time. Whatever the decision is that you need to make, as you stand, I ask that the praise team would come up here and I'm going to pray and then they're going to play a song. And if you have a decision to make, please come forward. Father God, we thank You so much for how You love us. God, we thank You so much that You promise to hear our prayers. Lord, help us to connect to You in a real and meaningful way. Help us as we start out this next year, Lord, that we would start strong and that each day we would choose You and that, Lord, at the end of 2019, we would finish strong in You. And that we would be able to look back and see what You did in our lives. How we were able to make a lasting impact because we plugged into Your story. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.